Welcome back. Today, I want to do something that most Etsy sellers never do at any point. I want to talk to somebody who's a non-customer of my shop.
No!
Meaning they never intend to buy anything I sell and they are not interested. Why would I bother to do this, you might be asking? Well, because talking to your non-customers can actually give you incredible insight into how you can make your items sell better to a brand new group of people. You can actually beat out the competition and see what makes people buy that aren't buying from you. So whether you have a shop that is doing very, very well and is getting lots of sales, or a shop that isn't doing well at all, this exercise could allow you to figure out how you can make your shop blow up for a brand new group of people. So today we will be talking to Jason, my husband, somebody who has never bought an art print in his life, and we'll be talking to him about buying art prints. Let's see what he has to say. Welcome to the I Just Sprung This on Jason and He Found Out He Was Doing It 6 Seconds Ago show. So hi, Jason.
Hi, Jenny.
How are you?
I'm good.
So today I'm going to do a fun exercise with you that involves you sitting here and answering things as honestly as possible and literally being as blunt as possible and coming up with whatever insane idea you can come up with in your head. Is that okay?
This is going to get harsh fast.
Oh, yeah. At this part of the exercise, a lot of people have finished brainstorming a ton of ideas to improve their business or just noticing other things about the industry. So you may have found a lot of what you already knew, but what if none of this is giving you a clear idea on what you need to do next? At this point, the best thing you can do is talk to a non-customer, and I happen to have one right here. Hi, non-customer.
Hi.
How are you?
Brain blitzkrieg.
Brain blitzkrieg. Okay. So what I'm going to do is talk to Jason, particularly about art prints, which is something I sell in my Etsy shop that I have never seen him purchase in his life. He's being very beautiful. He's going to be absolutely flawless for this chat. And I'm just going to see where this conversation leads me. And I'm going to write down some of the things he said so I can get a feel for anything I may have missed when I was thinking through all the good stuff. I've never seen you buy art online, particularly wall art. So please don't hold back and tell me the truth, and I know you will. What is it about wall art that you're just not interested in?
Well, I guess my first problem is
I'm a boy?
No. I'm trying to think of the word. I'm a competent photographer.
So in your case, a lot of things with wall art is like, why would I buy this if I could take this photograph myself?
Right. And it's just not take that photograph myself, but I've also traveled around the world quite a bit. I've seen a lot of stuff, but I have a lot of interesting photos from different regions in the world, like Northern India and the Himalaya and Alaska and Argentina and Andes and Bolivia and Iceland and China. So why buy a stock photo when I have interesting photos of places that I've been that I can print out myself and use those?
So I like how you immediately assumed that wall art meant a photograph. Is that just like your perception of what you should put on the walls?
It's one of the things that I like. There's not a lot of other kind of stuff outside of like punk rockabilly kind of things that you would
put on the wall.
That I would personally put on the walls.
Right. So things like text quotes or pictures of like things or maybe even cartoonized stuff, you wouldn't put that on the wall?
No, I'm not really interested in it. And the things that I would put on a wall, nobody makes.
Give me an example.
Okay, so there is a Barnes & Noble special edition Dune book cover that I really like.
Oh,
and I've been wanting to paint that on a full-size sheet of plywood, you know, so 8 by 4 feet. Like, put a projector up and copy it over effectively. Because it's only 3 colors and it's pretty simple, but something like that in wall art. But nobody's going to make anything like that.
So, technically, doing the book cover is copyright violation. But if you saw really beautiful depictions of Dune things or things that happened in the book that were not copyright violations, would you be interested in that?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of interesting things done. There's like a set of tarot cards that I wanted that are really interesting
like
from the Dune series.
Tarot cards?
But they're out of print and they're like $800 now on eBay. So there's no way I'm buying that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a niche thing and I'm a nerd and I like my niche things, but I either can't afford them or they're not made.
Oh, that's interesting. So you either can't afford them straight out, like you're just like, mm-hmm. that's cool, but I'll never have it.
Right.
Because they're collector's editions, essentially.
Yes.
Or they just don't exist because there's such a small demand for them, nobody makes them, or you can't find them anyway.
Correct.
Just out of curiosity, what's the most you've ever paid for something frivolous online? It doesn't have to be art, it can be anything.
Frivolous?
Yeah, like just like something that you just got to use and it wasn't for actual like functional anything.
Zero.
I know you've bought frivolous things.
I buy.
I see you buy them.
I buy things that I use that others may see as frivolous, but I use it. Like I dropped $2,000 on a DSLR system when I was a graduate student back in 2010.
Okay.
And that really hurt. And that was crazy, but I used it for field work and stuff. So it is frivolous in one sense, I agree, but it's also kind of practical.
What made you willing to spend that much money?
Quality.
Quality.
Yeah. So I had a Canon system and I sold it and switched to Sigma. And it was because it was a different kind of setup, has a different type of sensor than all the other DSLRs.
Yeah, so
right.
You were an experienced buyer. You already had a product and you wanted to upgrade something you already had, basically.
Right. And I think this gets to a larger pattern of my buying habits is I'm a very niche buyer.
I can tell.
Right. But what I'm saying is I'm like the beta buyer.
Right.
Like I wouldn't buy VHS back in the day. I would have bought beta. When I went by a motorcycle, I didn't buy a Harley. I bought a Triumph back before Triumphs were cool.
So
instead of getting the Canon, I got a Sigma. So I always get the off brand that I think for some reason is better, even though it has a smaller market and costs a little bit more.
Let's dig into this a little bit because it's really interesting. Do you dislike the more popular brands because they're popular? Or do you choose to actively seek out something different because you want to see what else is out there? Or could it just be that you don't want to associate yourself? Because like for me, when I was a teenager, I didn't want to get what everybody else had. I wasn't interested in being like everybody else. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but can you maybe speak to why it is that you have such a lack of interest in sort of the basic bitch version?
I think it's more of a practical thing. I'm after the best quality for my money.
Okay.
And a lot of times, now this is definitely not true for like cheaper like beta products, but a lot of times the more expensive second choice products have to be better than the mainstream ones in order to survive in the market.
Right.
Because the big ones already have the brand recognition and everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so because there's so much competition, they've essentially leveled up in a way that the big guy doesn't have to because he's the big guy and he's going to make sales regardless.
Right. So the secondary one has to be more innovative and offer something for people to see and want them over the trusted name that everybody else has.
Okay. That makes sense. Wow. That's really cool. So just out of curiosity, everybody kind of has like a price that when they hit it online, they're like, okay, this is too much. I'm not going to buy. Where it's like, you look at something, for me, it's like, if this is $29.99 and below, I don't even think about it. But everything above $29.99, I'll often take pause. And if it's a small item, my filter is more like $19.99. So do you know where your breakpoints are?
I'd say honestly about $10.
$10.
Yeah.
If it's under $10, you don't even hesitate.
Yeah.
Right.
So if it's the first 2 weeks of the month and it's under $10, then I don't hesitate.
Oh, yours is very payday centric.
Yes. Okay. I'm a single monthly paid person.
I thought you were going to say I'm a single mother.
I'm paid unimonthly.
Unimonthly. So if it's under $10 and it's like a frivolous item that you would perceive to be frivolous.
Like a pencil or a sandwich or a fuse for my truck or something like that.
Let's say those tarot cards were turned into art pieces. Or like, what would you buy? Like, would you buy them as tarot cards? You've never owned tarot cards. Was the art amazing enough to you that you don't care what they're on?
I mean, I care what they're on. I don't want them on paper.
Okay, so tell me how you want them. Like, what's your ideal version of those?
Wood.
I think
that's how they came. They were like little wooden tiles.
Little wooden tiles.
Like hexagon-shaped tiles. They were pretty cool.
Oh. They were originally tiles?
Yeah. So originally they were like as thick as a ruler. They were on hexagon-shaped tiles about the size of a coffee mug coaster.
Oh, you're so essentially describing coasters.
Yeah, but they're really kind of unique. But there were artwork on them.
Yeah.
Right?
Interesting. And that's a really weird thing. I've never seen you buy coasters or even ever use them. So, like, what makes that so much different?
Well, they're not coasters. They're tarot cards. I just said they look like the size of coasters.
Okay. So, you're saying because they're not on paper, you just prefer the fact that it's not on paper. Things that, so, like, I could get you a Dune pillowcase. How do you feel about that?
I would prefer something like a canvas.
Like a painted canvas?
Yeah. Something or even one of the like the printed canvases that you do now where you print a photo on canvas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like more durable, substantial things because I tend to break stuff a lot.
Okay. I know. Yes. You are a bull in a china shop. Yeah.
That's a myth. Bull in a china shop actually doesn't break anything and it walks through very gently. It was done on Mythbusters. Yeah, I know. You're like freaking out right
now. Insert
right?
YouTube video here. Where's that?
Hey, kids. It's the internet.
Oh, my God.
Find it on YouTube. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So this is really interesting. I think you revealed a few things. Tell me what you think. I'm going to tell you what conclusions I draw, and you tell me what I missed from what you said. Because you know you better than I know you. So tell me what you think I missed. First and foremost, I noticed that when it comes to art prints in general, you did not feel that the market served you at all. So if you were somebody who is looking to innovate and you were talking to your non-customer, simply talking to them about what they don't see that they're interested in, the reason they don't look for art prints or even think about them is probably because they've long since discovered that the stuff that applies to them doesn't exist out there. So they gave up on it. So I think this is why we see a lot of people doing art prints with like TV show jokes and other things that are not copyright violating, but are still like related or inspired by, because I think that the modern person doesn't want to put necessarily like flowers or abstract art on their wall all the time. They really want things that demarcate a point in their life or something that they love that they think about all the time. And I think that you feel left out of that, which is why you're not even participating at all.
Very much so, yes.
Okay. And then some of the other things I noticed was if the art was interesting enough to you, because you were like tarot cards, like you're the opposite of somebody who would like tarot cards. Like until recently, I don't even think tarot cards were in your vocabulary.
I really liked tarot cards and Penny Dreadful as well, but same experience. They're out of print and super expensive.
So expensive, yeah. Well, it's another interesting product idea, putting your artwork on tarot cards, because tarot cards are usually supposed to be so beautiful, and clearly they go way up in price when they go out of print and when they're a rare deal. But at the same time, like, that's something you would have willingly bought just for that Dune artwork, even though I don't think you ever would have really used the tarot cards except maybe once at a party.
Correct.
Yeah, so like you're willing to spend your money on this kind of stuff. It just needs to be what you want and what you get excited about. Can you remember what you searched for to find those when you came across those on Etsy? Do you remember?
For the Dune
ones?
What
you were searching for? Yeah.
I know it was a long time ago. I was searching for Dune tarot cards.
Why?
Because I liked the ones in the movie.
Oh, you saw the exact ones in the movie and you were looking to see if they were available online?
Yes.
Oh, so like... I do this all the time where I'll be watching a show and I'll be like, or I'll put in somebody's name or something they're doing, like so-and-so's bracelet or like the Penny Dreadful tarot cards. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that was a huge search. So people do.
Right. So, okay, here's the interesting thing that got left out, right? There is an Etsy seller, I don't know who it is, that does make some Dune tarot cards that are pretty cool. And I considered potentially buying those instead. They're a little expensive. They're somewhere between $10 and $15 each.
Per card.
You'd have to, and I want the whole set. And I almost bought the ones that they did have, but the problem is they only have like 7 or 9 of them made.
Oh, and so they're making the set one at a time?
Maybe. I haven't seen a lot of advancement there.
Yeah.
It's not sold out. I just think that they're selling the ones that they have, and maybe they gave up on making the full set. And I'm not interested in buying it until I see the full set available.
This is so interesting because so many Etsy sellers come to me, and they're like, I have plenty of items in my shop. Or they're like, I know I need to add more, but I haven't had time. But like as a customer, when you see that, you think of that shop as like, nobody's paying attention to this. I don't trust this. I don't want to buy this. It was immediate turnoff to the point where you weren't even willing to buy the cards you liked that were in stock, which was something you totally were ready to do.
Right.
So it's like taking care of your shop and showing the customer that everything is available and showing the customer your full range is really, really vital from your perspective, because that's all you have to compare it to. From their perspective, it's like, oh, I'm busy, you know, I have kids, I don't have time for this. And it's like, yeah, that's a totally valid excuse. But at the same time, as a customer, you don't care about excuses. You just go to the shop, you see something you don't like, you leave.
And it's something that I really want, right? So, like, I'd even be willing to, you know, maybe at a slight discount for the whole set, like pre-order them as long as they're guaranteed by like a certain time frame.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's something that I actually really want and I'm still interested in. But yeah. I'm not going to spend 80 or 90 bucks on a third of a set of tarot cards.
Totally. Wow, that's really fascinating. So it seems like actually you could be a really interesting purchaser for this area that I didn't think you would be an interesting purchaser for at all. It's just the subject matter needs to be something that you really, really want that makes you really excited. And this is another fun thing you can do. Like if you're doing this with your non-customer, get them to literally just idea dump for you all the things that they've never seen that they want to see, or all the cool things that they've seen that they couldn't buy, that they couldn't afford, and pick out the ones that you can do. Some of the things you've named are copyrighted. Some of them need to be licensed, but most of them, if they're inspired by, are fine. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, if I wanted to create a shop that's targeting, you know, the you people who are feeling disenfranchised, they don't have a lot of products out there for you. So you're kind of your own little market. There's not a lot out there for you. So the people like you are probably feeling the same way. It's an interesting experiment to do and see if you can grow based on that. And the more people you talk to, the more you kind of learn this sort of thing. So that's really quite interesting how disenfranchised you feel by the market in general.
If you want to talk about disenfranchised, I have a blue ocean idea for you.
Okay, sure.
Well, for your people.
Yeah.
I'm a geologist. I have a PhD in geology. And we have lots of jokes about geology. You know, things like save a fault, threats a geologist.
Yes.
Or meet me behind the outcrop, there I'm a little bolder.
Yes.
Ha ha ha. And we have tons of these things. And recently, within the last 5 or 6 years, there's been some t-shirts and things like that, mugs made for geologists that are quirky that have a lot of these sayings on them. But these are like standard jokes that, you know, all of us heard in grad school, all the current faculty have heard these things, and it never gets old, and we love this stuff. And I can guarantee you it's the same for all the other sciences, but nobody makes any products for us.
Yeah.
You know, it's so hard to find stuff for professional scientists. Like, we're the worst people on the planet to fucking shop for.
Oh, you are. I've done it. Yeah.
So that's like a big blue ocean. Graduate students will do just about anything for beer. So if you met a couple of graduate students and bought them a beer and had them tell you all their nerdy science jokes and do some little line sketches with them, some little doodles of what they're talking about, they'll sell like crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's just not made for us.
This is something so interesting because so many Etsy sellers are like, I want to please a big group. I want to sell to a huge group. I don't want to be super niche down. But I think a lot of finding new customers is figuring out how are people disenfranchised and not getting served by the current market? Like, how are people disappointed by what they're seeing? And they're kind of like, I don't want to hang another picture of XYZ that everybody has that I can literally get anywhere. I don't want to be a basic bitch. That's why I'm on Etsy, because I don't want to be a basic bitch. So from that perspective of the customer, I think really figuring out what do they want and what do they need that isn't out there can really make a big difference, kind of serving people who don't want what we conventionally think we should make because everyone is buying it. But I think we got everything we need. Do you have anything else you want to add, or like, do you think that there's anything that would, you know, really make a difference in terms of making you buy something you wouldn't normally buy that we haven't covered?
I buy a lot of things that get used that are practical, and I will spend the extra money to get good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So having like use videos is very important. Of a product actually being used, right? So that doesn't really work in the case of like a piece of art or something like that. But maybe if you made like really heavy duty flannel shirts, for example, if you showed those being used in some rough conditions, like to show me that it's actually worth the money, right?
Show me the quality, show me what it does, show me how it works, show me how I hang it. If it's super easy to hang, I can literally just like snap it up, or like, do I screw it into the wall? Do I need like a wall plug? That kind of thing. That's really interesting because on Amazon now they have videos for products and they're actually super popular. I do think Etsy's going to implement this eventually, but I think that being able to see the product in action is a humongous game changer that's going to change the e-commerce industry as a whole. So it's actually very sound advice. Like, if you start making videos of things now, they can only serve you better over time.
And particularly for more expensive items, I like to watch them break before I buy them. And that's like a whole thing in people that are interested in stuff like I'm interested in.
Okay.
Right? I want to know how far you could push it before you break it.
Well, you're talking about like knives and car parts and stuff.
Right. But I mean, I'll literally drop a grand or 1500 bucks on something, but I want to know how far I can push it before I break it. And this could be like a tool, like a hand tool or something like that. I want to know what its limits are before I waste my money on it.
I don't know if that always applies in our case, but I do think that the using something and seeing what it can do and showing people so they understand exactly what they're getting and exactly how to set it up with no question in their mind, it just removes all the barriers to purchase.
Right.
It's really important.
Yes.
So I do think this is a good idea. It's something people can do on Pinterest or YouTube while they wait for Etsy to kick their ass into gear and give us video.
But, right. And I will go to, I frequently go to YouTube to watch these things as well because it's not actually on the product's website.
Totally. Totally. So yeah. Well, that's a great way to get ranks for things like, you know, how to hang art prints. Okay. Well, show all your art prints and all the different ways to hang them. Okay. Well, there you go. You have a great free advertising, not to mention you can link to your shop in the little cards in the description or during the video. Remind people, go here if you want to buy this set you're watching me hang. It's free press and it's amazing. And people really search for those kinds of things. Like go search YouTube and see what people are searching for related to your product. That's going to show you ideas that we didn't even come up with for sure. Well, thank you, Jason. I appreciate this whole conversation and it definitely led me to some realizations that I did not have on my own. So I appreciate it.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
I want to wish you all a nice day. And by nice, I mean G-N-E-I-S-S, which is a type of rock. Ha ha.
All the geologist jokes.
So there was this geologist who walked into a bar with an Etsy seller.